from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today is the fourth week of the 101st legislative session at the state's Capitol Building in Pierre, South Dakota. We'll talk about elections and one bill aiming to help ease the process for election officials. Data center debates continue across the state and in the Capitol Building, sales tax bills, and even more. It's Monday, February 2nd. Here are today's stories. Several voting-related and election security bills from the Secretary of State's desk have had their day in committee. While not all have passed, it reflects the broader question of how to ensure public trust in the voting process. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
In Monday's Senate State Affairs Committee, a bill to amend the electoral petitioning process was discussed and ultimately killed by lawmakers. Brandon Republican Senator Steve Kolbeck sits on this committee. By now, he's heard every argument there is about electoral policy.
I think there's still a little bit of hangover from the previous presidential election, and they're just trying to make sure that everybody's on the same page. We've had pro and con, and they've all made, you know, some of them have made some very, very good arguments on what we should have to change. So I think part of it is a cleanup, and part of it is a recognizing that we do need to adapt.
Kolbeck says in 2026, an election year with significant implications at the local and national level, he's confident in the safety of the vote.
I think that our elections are safe. I do. I think our county auditors do a great job. I have a couple of them that I trust them because I've known them for years. And then once you get into the discussions with them, you kind of realize that there's a reason for everything. But you really got to dig into how they do their job and what they do.
With that in mind, Kolbeck says he can get on board with reasonable efforts to ensure election integrity.
When you go into hand counting, when you go into electronic tabulating machines, I feel the tabulating machines are safe. Can we put bumpers around things? Absolutely. But I do feel that those machines are safe.
Last week, during the same committee, lawmakers heard arguments connected to challenging an individual's right to vote, how to properly print ballots, and the provisions tied to tabulating ballots. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Pierre.
Lawmakers advance a bill proponents say eases the burden on local election officials, but concerns remain that it negatively impacts candidate hopefuls seeking petition signatures. House Bill 1095 is in response to codified law passed by the legislature last session that combined all the municipal, school, and county elections to the same day in South Dakota. Many election officials testified to the House State Affairs Committee that the updated election schedule has created some inconsistencies in the dates between cities, schools, and counties. Proponents say the bill creates consistency. However, Kathy Glines, who's the Harding County Auditor, says another issue is at stake this year.
There's a 99.99% chance we won't meet the deadlines this year for the June election.
This election cycle creates more challenges for election staff. Under current law, candidate hopefuls for statewide elections and state legislature races must submit nominating petitions by the last Tuesday in March. This year, that falls on March 31st and would give county auditors 15 days to have ballots in hand ahead of absentee voting for the June primary. Representative Rebecca Reimer brought HB 1095 to address the unique challenges the 2026 election poses. It changes the date to the third Tuesday in March, up 2 weeks for 2026. Some legislators say changing the filing date and chopping off a couple of weeks to gather signatures while efforts are already underway creates a problem. One such lawmaker is Representative John Hansen.
I just have real concerns about using this legislation via emergency clause to cut potential candidates off of circulating mid-circulation process. I think that can operate a real unfairness and injustice to people if that were to happen.
Others say the bill is needed to guarantee integrity in this election cycle. Representative Erin Healy says she supports the bill, calling it a hard decision given the circumstances.
I don't think any single one of us is happy to be in this position where we have to vote on changing the timeline for nominating petitions. It's not fun, but we have to be responsible and we have to ensure that voters have a good product come April.
The bill advances out of the House State Affairs Committee following a 7-5 vote. It heads to the House floor. Hyperscale data centers dominated conversations in Doolittle County at a legislative Cracker Barrel. One of the area's lawmakers is bringing a bill to incentivize the tech giants, but many oppose that legislation. While the temperature outside of the Clear Lake Community Center in Doolittle County fell well below freezing, inside, conversations are heated.
And even the state constitution says that you cannot treat different businesses different, so... I mean, that's the rub here on your bill. Thank you.
I was insulted by that comment, and I think a lot of Toronto residents were.
Many constituents voiced their opposition to a proposed hyperscale data center in Toronto, South Dakota, a town of 200. Some of their legislative representation is leading the charge on the issue and putting forth a bill to bring the multi-billion dollar companies to South Dakota. Representative Kent Rowe is the prime sponsor, and Senator Stephanie Sauder is co-sponsor of a bill that creates a sales and use tax exemption on some goods and services related to data center operations. The exemptions last 50 years. Data centers that want to apply would need to do so within the next decade, something Rowe calls a tight window due to the complexity of the projects. While the 50-year exemption has raised some eyebrows, Rowe says there's a reason behind it.
That's built from industry because they're building what they're considering to be 100-plus-year industry structures, whatnot. They're looking long distance into the future. So 50 years gets them about halfway through what they're projecting their contributory life is going to be. Also, it's front-loaded, too. There's only a 10-year window in which these entities can start to build. After that expires in 2036, then this exemption goes away.
Eric Oftedal says his biggest rub has been the process and feeling neglected by legislators, the county, the Public Utilities Commission on the issue.
It's pushback from feeling not listened to or at all levels of government right now. That's kind of the biggest rub. It doesn't even necessarily have to do with just the data center or just the power line or just the generators. We all feel steamrolled. And feel like, you know, we have very little say. I wouldn't say we have no say, but you have to fight for what you want to say.
Eric's wife, Michelle, jumps in.
Nobody's hearing us about that. They're ignoring all the unintended consequences of this, and there's a lot. There's the first responders being overwhelmed. There's the price of farmland going up because the investors are coming in.
Michelle touches on the worry of first responders and emergency medical services volunteers in the county. Many are worried about the influx of people a data center could bring to the area that doesn't have the infrastructure around it to support. Sheila Manier is both a farmer and volunteer for EMS in Dual County. She says the people who would service the area where the data center is proposed are primarily volunteers.
It is a real struggle, and so it is very concerning to us, you know, when they talk about bringing in extra people. You know, we do rely on the graciousness of our employers to allow us to leave work to go do that.
Some have looked at ways to leverage the data center opportunity. That includes looking to financially benefit underfunded areas like EMS and first responders. Manier says money doesn't help population.
Oh, they will donate so much money to you. You know, they'll give you money to help support this. But the bottom line is, yeah, you can give us all the money in the world, but that doesn't fill the boots of the people that operate the trucks that administer the first aid.
The project is expected to bring at least 1,000 construction jobs to the area. The town of Toronto has a population of 200. Eric Oftedal also volunteers for the fire department, and he says they're not equipped to meet the need should it arise.
We do pretty well for a town of 200. We're not, you know, staffed, equipped for 10 times that.
However, most contend there are some benefits to the tech giants. Representative Rowe estimates the Applied Digital Data Center would bring in around $5.5 million in property tax revenue annually to Dual County to the current $11 million budget. Proponents also say it gets South Dakota's economy trending upward. When asked, Rowe says he's heard a mixed bag from constituents, but
the general response has been positive. There's a lot of support out there, and I think we'll see that become more vocal going forward. Yes, there's some very, very intense opposition to it, same as there is with any bill that I've experienced anyways. There's always people that are intensely against something or intensely for something.
Plenty of those intense voices showed up today to voice their opposition to Rowe's bill, HB 1005. However, he says it's important he shows up to hear all feedback.
And I'm the elected person here representing District 4, and this is the best way to get public input and pushback and everything else.
Rowe says the most important part of his bill is it opens the door for data centers, but keeps decisions in local hands. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks in Clear Lake. A bill establishing a task force on funding for ambulance services is moving forward in the State House. Senate Bill 89 came out of the summer interim study on emergency medical services in the state. Those lawmakers found a patchwork of funding mechanisms leading to instability in emergency services statewide. But some local government groups spoke against the task force. They take issue with the bill's language on examining funding mechanisms to support local governments in providing ambulance services. Sarah Rankin is the executive director of the South Dakota Municipal League.
Cities are concerned that this language sets an expectation that local governments will continue to bear the primary financial responsibility for EMS, with the state playing only a secondary role.
Proponents say this language merely acknowledges the existing role of local governments. Senator Tim Reed is the bill's prime sponsor. He understands concerns about unfunded mandates.
So the whole idea of who's responsible for this can still be part of the task force. But today, public service is provided by cities and counties. So this is how we protect local governments and the EMS system at the same time.
The Senate Health and Human Services Committee passed the bill unanimously. It heads next to the Senate floor for further consideration. South Dakota has been on a sales tax holiday since the Kristi Noem administration. Originally seen as temporary, a group of lawmakers seeks to change that. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
While not totally gone, the state sales tax was reduced by 0.3% in 2023. It dropped from 4.5% to 4.2%. Now, Senate Pro Tem Republican Chris Carr says the sunset clause on that policy needs to go.
We want to make sure that the intent of that legislative bill, 1137, and the legislature at the time, comes to fruition. And why I think this is relevant today, we know how inflation and the current economy is impacting households. We want to keep that sales tax rate to help households, businesses, local governments, so they can plan with confidence.
Carr says as debates about property tax swirl in the Capitol, policy like this ensures the burden from property tax relief isn't shifted onto non-property owners.
I fundamentally think that that is bad tax policy, because what they're talking about is taxing everybody through the sales and use tax for their food, their clothing, and they want to use those dollars to offset the property taxes for owner-occupied homes. That starts to feel very reminiscent of a feudal system to me.
Some proposals are actively looking to reallocate some of the weight of property taxes onto the wider sales tax pool. Carr says appropriators are aware of his proposal and it has been assigned to the Appropriations Committee. He says he wants to respect the opinion of that body, but feels confident in the logic of his policy proposal.
But let me ask you this. Would you rather pay more in sales tax to offset somebody else's owner-occupied property tax? And I think most people would say no.
This comes amid a legislative debate over how to stem property taxes. Lawmakers are working through nearly two dozen proposals on the issue. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
According to the State Department of Education, South Dakota's funding formula for special education has remained essentially unchanged for 25 years. Practitioners say the formula has failed to keep up with annual costs, but lawmakers are hesitant to approve anything that leads to higher taxes. SDPB's Jackie Hendry reports.
Monica Waltman is the director of special services with the Douglas School District in Box Elder. She supports House Bill 1098, one of a handful of bills in play this session looking to adjust that funding formula. Waltman says HB 1098 addresses a long-standing misalignment in how special services are funded.
So it's not like this is an issue, new programs or sudden changes in the law. It's just that student needs, particularly students with medical, behavioral, and mental health related needs, require more adult support and more specialized staffing and more coordination than they did years ago.
But solving that problem creates another for policymakers anxious about property taxes. Grant Judson, with the Bureau of Finance and Management, testified against the bill in the House Education Committee last week. He says the adjustment would amount to a $16.5 million increase in property taxes, with $7 million from owner-occupied properties.
So the increase in property taxes is due to those students now being eligible for Level 2, which in turn is a higher per-student amount, and that requires the levies to be adjusted for the state share to be maintained.
The committee sent the bill to appropriators with a do-not-pass recommendation based on those costs. Monica Waltman says until the funding formula is adjusted, school districts will continue absorbing costs in other ways, from delaying hiring more staff to increased caseloads for existing specialists.
Those strategies certainly keep services going, but they're not sustainable long-term solutions at all.
The other bills related to special education funding have not yet been heard in committee. I'm SDPB's Jackie Hendry in Sioux Falls.
Tomorrow, the Senate Judiciary Committee hears testimony on a bill to increase penalties for using threat or violence to prevent the practice of religion. But some religious leaders say they would have liked a chance to give input on the measure. SDPB's Lori Walsh reports.
Governor Larry Roden stood alongside legislative leaders and Christian evangelist Will Graham to voice support for Senate Bill 113. The move came on the heels of a protest in a St. Paul church that disrupted worship. That protest was in conjunction with ongoing opposition to the actions of federal ICE agents in Minnesota. Governor Roden says that images of the protest on television spurred him to take action, but he did not confer with any South Dakota faith leaders before getting behind the proposal.
I have not, other than Will Graham, and he was out last week, and that was the day that we had the press conference. He stood with us at the press conference, but he and I visited about it, and he's a name brand faith leader, I think.
During Interfaith Day at the Capitol Building and Pier, South Dakota faith leaders prayed publicly for compassion and justice in a troubled world. Reverend Gene Morrow represents the Coalition for South Dakota Faith in Public Life.
I would have appreciated as a clergy person that before bringing a bill about churches, that there would have been some kind of opportunity for clergy and lay leaders, like our presidents and moderators of congregations, to have conversations with each other and with the governor or the governor's staff about whether or not this is necessary. There is a law on the books. I don't know why we would go a step further without any kind of interaction with clergy and churches. Again, I feel like it's reactive and knee-jerk.
The bill would raise the penalty for using threat or violence to prevent the practice of religion from a misdemeanor to a Class 6 felony. That is punishable by up to 2 years in prison and a $4,000 fine. I'm SDPB's Lori Walsh in Pierre.
As the legislature gets deeper into session, the lack of consensus on a major issue continues to bleed into conversations. How to handle data centers.
The data center debate gets at deeper-rooted disagreements in the legislature over how to handle economic development. Some argue the state shouldn't use tax breaks to draw in companies and instead rely on a true free market. On the other side of the coin, some say the state should incentivize some projects and industries, arguing the net economic growth outweighs the cost. In South Dakota, data center conversations primarily revolve around state sales tax breaks. Some, like Republican Senator Jim Malhoff, say South Dakota should be putting something forward to win the centers over and promote economic development.
We need to keep a bit more of an open mind on economic development in this state and be careful not to do things that send the message that we're not interested in it.
Malhoff is co-sponsor of a bill that creates a 50-year sales and use tax exemption on some of the equipment data centers use for their operations. Others argue against it, calling the practice unfair. One is Republican Speaker of the House John Hansen, who's bringing a bill that bans state sales tax incentives and sets guardrails around water and electricity. He says his bill levels the playing field.
You're still free to come here. You just have to compete in the open market like everybody else. You know, a lot of industries would love to come to South Dakota. You know, a lot of industries have built from the ground up in South Dakota, and many of those people weren't given big tax breaks or big incentives.
However, it's not just Republicans who are keeping an eye on the debate. Democratic Senator Jamie Smith says they haven't taken a firm stance yet, but he doesn't like the length of the tax incentives that have currently been proposed.
When it comes to 50-year tax breaks, I'm not for that at all. In talking to people in economic development, how many different businesses out there would love 50 years of no tax, sales tax on their equipment? I mean, sign me up.
His colleague in the House, Representative Aaron Healy, says they're trying to shave some years off, but
it's also my understanding that 42 other states do have tax breaks for data centers, and so we also have to keep in mind that we do have to be competitive.
Thus far, neither of the bills have had committee hearings. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
The state Senate is advancing a bill enhancing the penalty for drug charges within state prisons. SB 42 increases the felony charge for inmates or correctional staff accused of ingesting or distributing drugs within the prison system. This comes amid a sharp increase in overdoses in state prisons in 2025, including 8 deaths. Several of those deaths have been tied to drug rings that involve correctional staff. SB 42 is one of 10 criminal justice bills introduced by Attorney General Marty Jackley. So far, all 10 have passed the Senate and are being considered in the House.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
South Dakota senators are introducing a bill in Congress to study the possibility of delivering Missouri River water to West River communities. It's being brought by Senators John Thune and Mike Rounds. The bill includes $10 million for the Bureau of Reclamation to look into the feasibility of this proposal. Officials say this study is required before federal approval of the project can be granted. A spokesperson for the Western Dakota Regional Water System called the legislation a, quote, critical step for water reliability in western South Dakota. That organization has spent years on preliminary work to pave the way for this federal study. Thune previously introduced this bill in 2024, but it was never acted upon in committee. The South Dakota Highway Patrol is planning on conducting more than a dozen sobriety checkpoints across the state this month. Troopers will conduct checkpoints in 15 counties throughout February, including Brookings, Lawrence, and Jackson counties. The Highway Patrol works with local law enforcement agencies during these operations. Officials say they're designed to cut down on drunk driving. The Rapid City Medical Center announces their intent to join the Monumental Health banner. The announcement marks the first step in the process to close the transaction. In the letter of intent, both organizations say they'll operate independently throughout the transaction process. Patient care, providers, clinic locations, and insurance currently remain unchanged. Both parties say they intend to have the deal closed by spring. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.